Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics of Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
Yeah, your ears aren't fooling you. It's an all-new edition with a brand-new theme song for the RC Skill Builder Show. Here is the dude who looks like a lady, the man himself, Mike Chilson.
Oh, goodness. I tell you what, you know what they say about payback, Matt. You know, when you're the one who turns the dials, you can do that kind of stuff. But turnabout's fair play, my friend. Well, welcome everybody to the show tonight. I'm glad you're with us. Today's Tuesday, April 26, 2011, and trying to recover from that little surprise there. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we're glad you could listen to the show tonight. Whether you're listening live or if you're listening to the podcast, we're glad you're here with us. If you're listening live, we want you to participate tonight. So right there on the player where you're listening, it has the if you're listening live, it has the telephone number 478-787-4768. Or you can Skype us at Warbird Radio or email me directly while we're on the air at live, L-I-V-E, at rcscalebuilder.com. We're going to hop right into tonight's guest and talk a little bit to him. And I'm really glad to have this guy on the air. He's a great builder on the site, well-known on RC Scale Builder. I want to welcome Denny Friesel to the show. Denny, welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
We're glad you could be here, my friend. We try and bring builders on the show once a month or so and try and talk about, you know, how they got started in modeling and their different techniques and what they like about the hobby. And that really kind of, I think, gives us all a better idea of each other. It makes our community a lot closer. Why don't you start off by maybe telling us how you got started in RC modeling?
Well, it's kind of hard for me to say because, actually, I started at a very young age. Preschool, before I ever went to school, we lived near an airport that had military planes, and I'd stand on the front porch and watch these things take off and fly, and I've been basically a plane nut ever since. Used to go to a thing called a variety store and get these stick models. They basically were 16th-inch sheets of balsa wood with the ribs and the formers and everything stamped on them with blue ink, and you'd cut them out with a razor blade, and I don't know, I wasn't three when I was doing that, but that's where I started, way back when.
Oh, I remember those days.
Yeah. Well, to give you an idea how old I am.
Well, we won't talk about that, okay?
Yeah, we don't like that.
Well, what got you into RC? When did you start flying radio control models?
Well, basically, my brothers and I, we used to fly control line and free flight and do all of that, and that was before RC was available. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we weren't all that well off when we were younger, so we couldn't afford the radio control stuff. But the thing that really got me started in radio control was when Heathkit came out with their kits, their proportional radio control kits. Mm-hmm. And I built one of those, and I was hooked on RC ever since.
Yeah, those are nice. I think we had a conversation about this in Toledo, but mm-hmm. It's amazing what was available back then.
And I flew that for many years, but eventually I got out of school and I got a job and I could start affording things. And then I got my first commercial radio. It was a World Engines Expert series. Mm-hmm. And then when they quit, I got into a few top.
I got you. Well, there you go. What about scale modeling? You know, this hobby is kind of a progression of things as we've all kind of learned. And mm-hmm. and what about scale modeling? When did that kind of catch your eye?
Well, even when we were doing the control line and the early RC, I was always wanting to build airplanes that actually were real airplanes as opposed to, you know, model airplanes at the time in the 50s and the 60s that were great flyers. I was always trying to build, you know, a Mustang or something, and of course they didn't fly well, but I sure had a good time building them. And eventually it got good enough. I built some that started flying, and I've been building scale models ever since. I think every plane in my inventory except one, which is a trainer that I use for buddy boxing new students, are scale models of something, and most of them are Warbirds.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I think just about everyone who's been on RCSB for more than a month or so knows about your Wildcat. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the Wildcat was my first attempt at what I would call a competition scale model airplane with all the details in it. I'd built and competed in the mid-70s with sports scale. Mm-hmm. But I never felt I was a good enough builder to go compete in the Masters or any of the, you know, the really scale meets. And I got near retirement, and I decided, you know, it's about time I started building something that I can go compete with. And the Wildcat was built after I destroyed a Zeroli Corsair. And so I just... And I was going to build it really, really scale, and I did. I learned a lot of techniques. It took me 2 years because I didn't know how to do a lot of things. And, of course, RC Scale Builder really helped me there because I went through the threads and the different techniques, and I learned a lot. And I tried them all on the Wildcat, and sometimes they worked and sometimes they didn't, so I redid things. But I finally got it built, and then I spent so much time on it, it took me a year before I put the first flight on it. But I flew it, and I'll tell you what, I was amazed. For a plane with a 50-ounce per square foot wing loading, it flies like a sport plane. It is a really great flying airplane.
Yeah.
That's the Jerry Bates Wildcat, by the way.
Yeah, that all of his planes I've flown have been that way. They're just good flying airplanes. I think he picks good designs, too. So, well, that's interesting. So tell us about your current project. What are you working on these days?
Well, 2 years ago, I lost the Corsair, mm-hmm. so I bought another Zeroli Corsair, and I'm doing it just like the Wildcat, and of course, it's going a lot faster, so I started this 6 months ago, and it's actually ready for paint now.
Wow.
But all of the techniques I learned on the Wildcat, I've been using with the Corsair, and of course, I went the next step in scale, and I put a radio-controlled sliding canopy and all these fancy details, real scale wheel doors, sequencing doors and all that stuff. So
yeah.
I've been having a grand time building it.
Well, that's great. That's what it's all about anyway, right?
Yep. Well, the nice thing about the hobby is it's when it's raining, you can have fun building, and when it's sunny, you can have fun flying.
That's right. Well, you know, we're at a little bit of a disadvantage down here. Well, I wouldn't really say that in the South, because we don't really have a building season except for those 2 months when it's blistering hot outside.
I am so jealous. I haven't flown outdoors, I think, since December. You know, it was very cold. And then this spring, we just had nothing but rain and wind. And we can't even get our tractor on the field to cut the grass.
Wow.
Because it's so wet.
Well, you know, I heard rumblings of you coming down to Warbirds over Georgia this year.
I'm planning on it.
Man, you're going to enjoy that.
I hope so, yeah. I'm also going to Joe Knoll.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never been there. I've heard so much about it, and a friend of mine and I, both of us are modelers, are heading down that way.
Great. Well, that's fantastic. It's kind of one of those things that you want to see at least once in your life.
Yeah.
And probably after that one time, you may not want to go back, but
well, just, you know, I tell you, when I go to events like that, I'm fortunate in that I live near Muncie, Indiana.
Right.
So, for instance, I go up and I participate in the Indiana Warbird campaign. I've got to see some of the Scale Masters competitions there.
Yeah.
And we go up there and fly every once in a while. In fact, that's where I lost the Corsair. The radio quit mid-flight.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll go ahead and tell you as an old Joe Noller, is the best time to get there is the week before.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. People start showing up there about 10 to 15 days before the event.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
We're planning on showing up the first Friday.
Oh, yeah.
We're meeting up with our friends, Bill Swindells and a bunch of Canadians, so we're going to be flying under a Canadian flag. Joe Noller.
Well, that's pretty nice. You'll enjoy it. It is. It's a lot of fun, but there are a lot of people there.
Yep.
And if you're going with the intention of flying, you definitely need to go early in the week.
Okay. Well, I go with the intention of doing a little flying, but also I really like to see, you know, you learn a lot by going to these things. You get
Absolutely.
A whole new set of ideas of what you can do, and it gives you directions when you get home.
That's right. Folks, if you'd like to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768. Or if you have Skype, you can reach us at Warbird Radio. That's one word. Or shoot us an email at live, L-I-V-E, at rcscalebuilder.com if you have a question for Denny or would like, you know, if you're one of Denny's buddies and would like to rag him a little bit, you know, we allow that here on the air. but getting back to your modeling, are there any older models maybe that you've built that you'd really like to either build again or that you still have that's maybe your favorite?
Well, you know, way back when I got into twins,
mm-hmm.
and I had the Aero Commander Shrike and a few others, but then I started scratch building airplanes that weren't available back then. And one, I actually got a drafting board, and I drafted up a Mosquito, 83-inch wingspan British Mosquito,
right,
with twin engines. Built that up and flew it, and that was the first twin I ever flew. And, of course, I still wasn't all that well off back then, so I couldn't buy very expensive engines, and I had a heck of a time getting the engines to run, but I finally got the thing airborne.
Right.
And it flew great.
Mm-hmm.
But then one of the engines died, and it flew straight, perfectly straight on one engine, but I couldn't get it to turn.
Right.
And it flew straight into a tree. And, you know, when I got done with that and picked up all the pieces, said, you know, dummy, all you had to do was throttle down the good engine, make the turn, and then throttle up again. So I learned the hard way on twins. But I've had several good ones since, DC-3s. Yeah. I scratch-built a A-26. And those are the kind of things that I used to like to do. I used to like build airplanes that I didn't see a lot on the field.
Right.
You know, and that's why I went with the Bates Wildcat.
Yep.
Because I don't see very many of those out there.
No, there's not very many of them, that's for sure.
But they're getting more prevalent, I see.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Around the side.
Well, that's neat. You know, it's interesting you bring that up about twins. You know, electrics have really opened up a lot of doors. One thing I noticed the other day, and you made me think of this when you were talking about that scratch building, that Mosquito, is you're seeing a lot of scratch built twin and four engine planes now that
Absolutely.
You probably would have
Yep.
never seen before
Yep.
the advent of electrics. And that's really cool. I think it gives you a lot more flexibility in designing something, you know, that you
want to fly. It's interesting because I quit flying twins, not because I couldn't fly them, because they flew great.
Right.
And actually, some of them flew good on one engine. But I got tired of all the mess you had to clean up on the airplane. I mean,
yeah.
two glow engines make twice as much mess as one glow engine.
Right, that's right.
So I built the latest twin I built was a 103-inch wingspan. It was a Keith Sparks design, PBM-5A.
Oh, yeah.
the PBM-5 was a float plane, and the Sparks design was a float plane, but I modified it with a retractable landing gear. They only made 35 of those back when they built the airplane. And actually, flew it quite a bit. It's a good flying airplane.
Well, I'll tell you, that's good to hear. I knew you had built one. My dad was actually on a seaplane tender in World War II and worked
on really?
Those. Yeah, and so I was going to do one from his squadron that he helped support. And Jerry's been drawing me up a set of plans on and off over the last year or so, but we're gonna build a really big one day when I retire. So,
yeah, I've been thinking about taking the one that I have and using it as a mold for a fiberglass fuselage.
I think that'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I made mine with the retractable landing gear with rubbers and all that, so I could actually fly it on land or on water.
Sure. Sure.
But I've never succeeded in flying it on water after I made it a land plane.
Yeah.
But I live on a lake, so seaplanes are natural here, too.
Well, cool. Well, folks, once again, if you'd like to ask Denny a question or have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. It looks like we got one in from our good friend David Heil, who says that he's taking credit for getting you to go to Warbirds Over Georgia.
He is the one that actually got me interested in doing that. You bet. And he's also been very helpful in my Corsair. I've learned some things about how to do weathering and stuff on the planes. I have Platt's CD, but he's been very helpful to me.
So, well, let me give you a piece of advice about David Heil, okay? You need to be careful about what you hear from him. He is a bureaucrat.
Uh-oh. You know?
So keep that in mind, Denny, okay?
Okay.
So I have to bust his chops every chance I get. He's a good friend of mine. So.
Well, you know, I had to cash in some chips with my wife to let me go down there, but I'm in good shape. I'm going to be down here.
Well, that's super. I'm glad you're coming. What are some projects you're thinking about doing in the future, maybe?
Well, actually, I've got a couple lined up.
Mm-hmm.
I have a framed up Zeroli Skyrider.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I bought it from Greg Hahn at a swap meet last winter. And I've always wanted the Skyrider. I love the Navy planes with the big radial engines because I can fit big gas engines inside of them. They don't stick out. And after that, I've got a one-third scale pup from Balsa, USA.
Well, there you go.
That ought to take me a couple more years after the Corsair.
Sounds like you got your queue pretty full.
Yeah, well, you know, I never used to have more than one project going at a time, and that's still a rule. I won't start a new project until I get the old one done, because then I figure I would have four started projects and no finished projects.
I understand. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a little ADD, so I have to have more than one going at a time.
Well, my wife calls me ADD without the attention deficit. She's a first grade teacher, so she knows.
I hear you. Well, that's super. Well, let me ask you this. You know, there's a couple of standard questions I ask people in our hobby when I get on here who are builders and so forth. What's some good basic advice you would give someone getting into scale building?
Well, first of all, if you've never built a scale airplane, build something that would probably be a good flying airplane as a start. Mm-hmm. I mean, you use it to learn all your techniques. But, you know, to build an airplane that would be a difficult one to fly because of the wing loading or whatever is probably not a good way to start. But I think even more important than that, I think, is build something you like, you know.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a fun hobby, and if you're building in something that turns you on, it makes it fun every day you work on it.
That's right. That's fantastic advice, you know, because when you're reaching the finish line with that thing, you're pretty much getting tired of looking at it.
Well, I haven't had that problem. In fact, in my case, no, I really haven't. My problem is I hate framing them up. That's why I bought the Skyrider all framed up. But I absolutely love doing the details.
Yeah,
I can do that ad nauseum. I finally put the Corsair away for a little bit because I was just going crazy on it. It's a disease. It's like a sickness.
Well, that's good. You know, that's a good kind of sickness to have, though.
Oh, I think it is. Yep.
Yep. Well, let's see. Another question I usually ask people is, where do you see this part of our hobby going in the next 10 years or so?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I mean, you know, I have a couple of warbirds that I fly every day that are ARFs, a KMP Sky Raider. Mm-hmm. I mean, that plane is gorgeous right out of the box. It's painted, it's covered with a material, and I don't know what kind of paint they use on it because nothing attacks it. I haven't found any chemical at all I can that will soften the paint. Yeah. And it's a great flying airplane. And, you know, I see a lot of people going that way. As far as scratch building, really scaled, detailed airplanes, I have some concerns about the future. I don't know that the younger generation that I see flying, they look at my airplane and say, man, you must have a lot of time on your hands. You know, they just don't seem to have, actually, today, the time to do it.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is that it's something that really does eat up a lot of time. And I just retired a month ago. And, you know, now I've got all kinds of time to do what I want. Mm-hmm. But when I was younger, had my kids, you know, I did my airplane building after midnight because that was the only time I ever had free.
Sure.
You know, the rest of the time you're out trying to make a living and you know, get ahead in your profession.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I do see electrics as one of the big things in the future. I think the electric craze is really is caught on, and it's going to stay that way for a while.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think ARFs, you know, a lot of people have say that ARFs have ruined our part of the hobby, but actually I think they have helped it because they're introducing a lot of people into the hobby that probably would not be in it if they had to build something, you know?
Yeah, I've got a quick story for you if you're interested about
Absolutely.
That. Well, you know, I used to go to all these sports skill meets, and I'd drag my kids and my wife with them. They all had a good time playing with the airplanes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not one of them, not either boy, was interested in flying the airplanes. And I couldn't understand why. So when my grandson was about six, I bought him one of these GWS Cubs. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my son, who never flew these airplanes, had to put it together and get it ready for him to fly. And he started flying it. And, you know, he's more hooked on RC now than I am. And the reason that he didn't do it earlier, and this, honest to God, this is what he said, and I never knew this until he was about 30 years old. He could not stand the smell of the castor oil.
Oh, wow.
But now that there's electric out there, yeah. I mean, he's a really good 3D pilot. He's better pilot than I am. He has a great time.
Yep.
So now he's starting to build scale with me, and we plan on going out and doing the campaign trail starting this summer.
Well, you know, the thing I've seen, a little story I've seen about that was someone got into the hobby, bought an ARF trainer, learned how to fly it, moved on to a tail dragger ARF, and then bought them a Warbird ARF, and then next thing you know, they're wanting to build something because they don't want the same airplane that everyone else has.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And so, you know, I have hope. I think there's always going to be a segment of the hobby for this, and there's always going to be people who will learn later in their life that you have to make time for things you enjoy, you know?
Right. Well, my son is now starting to build his Aroli F9F Panther with an electric ducted fan in it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So, well, I'm hoping. And, of course, I expect when I can't walk, my grandson will take my airplane out to the runway so I can fly it.
There you go.
When I get older.
Well, Danny, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show tonight. It was great chatting with you, and I think it's good for everybody to kind of get to know you guys who are real active on the site. And you know, I think we have a great community, and it's folks like you that participate a lot that really make it that way.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting some of these folks I've been RCing with on RC Scale Builder down at the Warbirds over Georgia.
Oh, absolutely. You'll get to meet a bunch of them for sure.
That's fantastic.
Just let me give you a piece of advice. Do not wear black, okay?
Don't wear black.
No black, no blues. All whites and light colors.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know, my brother's in Houston, and he calls me every weekend to tell me how much fun he had flying down there in Greek weather.
We're going to a fly-in this weekend down in Mobile. So,
is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you have a great time down there.
Well, we plan on it for sure. Well, look, I appreciate you coming on. And will you come back maybe after you finish your Corsair and tell us how the maiden went and everything?
Okay. Well, I know the Corsair is going to fly good.
That
is one of the best flying airplanes I ever had.
Yeah.
So.
Well, David, David Howell just sent another comment in and told me to tell you that your eyelids will sweat in Georgia. So.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? We flew USRA Giant Scale Racing down in Dallas, near Dallas, Texas, yeah, in June last year.
Well, then you know.
I put a temperature gauge on the wingtip, and it was 140 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I've been in that kind of weather.
Yeah.
But you know what? Flying model airplanes in most weathers, snow and cold, not one of them, is fun no matter what.
Well, you know, what's the old saying? The worst day at the flying field is better than any day at the office.
Absolutely true.
Well, Danny, thanks again. And we'll for sure, we'll have you back again, and appreciate you coming on the show. And thanks so much for all your contributions on the website. I appreciate it.
No, it's a two-way street. You know, you learn, and sometimes you help people. It works both ways.
That's right. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have David Mahaffey with his Inside RCSB segment. But stick around. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for WIX Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the WIX Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. WIX wants to hear from you. Again, that's WIX Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
And we're back with the RC Skill Builder Show. I appreciate you listening tonight. That was a great interview with Denny. I hope you all enjoyed that. You know, what can I say? Next up, we've got our good friend David Mahaffey with what's going on RCSB. David, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm just great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's beautiful weather here. You know, life's a dream. What can I say?
Well, obviously, we're starting out better this time because my microphone's working.
Well, you know, that's always a bonus. You know, I tell you what, buddy, that show when that happened, every possible thing technically that could go wrong did go wrong.
I think everything went wrong that week that could go wrong.
Well, it happens, you know.
So
what you got for us tonight?
Well, you know, tonight I have an old one from, I think, back in 2005. It's in the Top Flight forums, and it's the title of it's FW190D9, and it's on the Red 13 plane, which was, I believe, JV-44-190. And the author of this is Anton Van Reenen. Mm-hmm. And he's from South Africa. Yeah, and
that's definitely an oldie but a goodie for sure.
Yeah, it is. And you know, Mike, I chose this reasons, and one of them was because, well, obviously the lack of time that I've had in the past couple weeks. But the other reason is he does a lot of custom fabrication of parts. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good source of information for that. And, you know, and along with that, you know, it's a great thread to check out. Along with that, you know, he does the usual, you know, scale detailing, pays a lot of attention to detail, and he actually makes adjustments as he's making these parts, and he goes step by step through, you know, how to do this and that as far as the fabrication of these parts.
Right, right.
So,
well, that's pretty cool. You know, I believe it's at one time he was offering some of those parts for sale, wasn't he?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, he actually made the molds to where he could make more parts. And the reason I believe he did this, because I talked to him one time about it, you know, everything over where he's at ends up being about five times more than what it cost over here by the time it's over there.
Right.
So he was saying that most of the guys over there, when they get a kit, they basically they make molds of all those parts so they can make some new ones if they have to.
Now he's in South Africa, isn't that correct?
South Africa, yes.
Yeah, I thought so. I couldn't remember for sure. Well, that's neat. You know, that's a great one to review. And when you sent me that link, I went and looked at it, and I actually spent some time looking through there and was remembering how amazing it was that he was taking this sports scale top flight kit and really detailing it out, making it look really nice. And he's a great modeler for sure.
Yeah. Great plane, great thread. And yeah, definitely check it out, guys.
Yeah, so what's been going on with Mahaffey lately? You've been able to do any building or anything?
No.
Well, okay.
I got a to-do list.
Yeah, oh, there you go. I hear you.
No, you know, with the weather getting warm, you know, the house stuff is kicking in right now,
right.
So, you know, I've been taking care of stuff around the house and a few other things, which I won't talk about. But, you know, that's, you know, life stepping in the way. But hopefully I can get back to things pretty soon.
Well, I'm glad to hear things are going okay. And hope you'll find another great thread for us in a couple of weeks. And David Heil wanted me to tell you that that'll teach you to get married. Getting the honey-do list. Hey, we had a great time up in Toledo, didn't we, buddy?
Oh, yeah. That was a good time, man. I tell you what, you know, you flirting with my wife, though, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
I know it. You know, I probably don't do it enough. So that's where Mike Wilson steps in.
Well, look, you take care, my friend, and I'll be talking to you soon, I'm sure.
Okay, man. You have a good one.
All right. You take care. All right, folks. That was David Mahaffey with his What's on RCSB segment, talking about Anton's FW190D D9, I believe, in the Top Flight Forum. We'll have that link in the episode thread in the RCSB show forum. Let's see what's going on now. Matt, are you around?
Sorry, Matt stepped away for a few minutes. He'll be of course I'm around. Who do you think's running the ship?
Well, I was wondering. I thought maybe you hired a monkey to do it.
Oh, I could do that. I could do that.
Well, look, you know, I something's been in my head all day. I've been wanting to talk to you about.
Oh boy, bring it up.
Okay. You know, this morning on your live show, you were saying that there was a guy caulking the outside of the building and went right in front of your window in the studio, right?
Yeah.
Did you know? And I asked you. I said, "Well, did you have clothes on?" And you said, "Yes, you were dressed." But for some reason, I don't think that was true.
No, I really was. I was getting ready to go meet David for lunch, so I had my. Yeah. I was dressed appropriately.
Well, you know, David wrote me and he said, "I know you think I'm cheap, Mike." He said, "But I actually bought Matt's lunch."
Yeah,
today.
He did.
So I wanted to ask you about that. You know, I think he was trying to show off.
We went to the dollar menu. he said anything from the dollar menu I could have, but no. We went to a very, very nice restaurant, had a nice meal.
Well, you know, he never does that for me.
I see
who his real friends are now.
Well, we had a good time. It was a lot of fun, and you know, David is getting ready to go pick up a trailer, and he's going to be rolling down to Mac Hodges in style here in just a few more weeks. I told him though he's got to stop in Douglas. He's going to spend the night in Douglas, Georgia. And I said, you got to go see Tom Riley in Douglas, Georgia, who, you know,
absolutely
one of the most prolific restoration shops and restorers in the country.
Absolutely.
Of great airplanes, of warbirds. So hopefully
that's
David
definitely a place to stop by. If you,
I mean, if you're in Douglas, Georgia, you know, you got, it's like a no-brainer to go by there. So,
Well,
so hopefully David will get some good pictures of the XP-82 and the B-17 project, and Lord knows what else Tom has stuck in the shop there. So,
so did they give him his senior discount at the restaurant?
I didn't ask, Mike. I was trying to be a gentleman. I didn't ask. We had a great time, though. Nice afternoon. So,
well, good. I'm glad to hear that. He's a pretty nice fellow. I give him a hard time, but he's one of my good buddies. So
it was a lot of fun.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, we were talking also about the pictures that Forrest sent us from this last weekend.
Oh, man. That's just showing off, rubbing it in.
Yeah, walking around with no shoes on. I saw
having a
good
time, right?
Yep. I'm glad their event went off well. That's starting to become, build up to be one of the better events in the area.
Well, if he's not careful, it's going to turn into another Joe Knoll. You know, I mean, the guy's got more room out there than any airfield does. He could have 10 flight lines if he wanted to, but... you know, it's just a nice, relaxed event out there, and certainly not commercialized, that's for sure, but what a great place. So,
well, that's cool. Well, you know, this weekend, we've got Top Gun coming up.
Oh, man. Who's your money on this weekend?
My money is on Dino DiGiorgio and Graham Mears.
Yeah.
Literally.
Well, that's a good bet. I think that's going to be a good one, dude. Well, I don't, you know, everybody's going to be waiting to see who sweeps it this year at Top Gun.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
it's going to be an interesting turnout to see what shows up down there in Lakeland, and hopefully they'll be tornado free.
I hope so.
Unlike Sun and Fun, but yeah, they're going to be a lot of fun. So Top Gun this weekend. Remember, if you're going to Top Gun, take the short drive to Plant City, stay at the Days Inn, and visit the tool shed. So just remember. Plant City, Days Inn, Tool Shed. You'll have more fun than you've ever had in a long time if you do that. The really cool part is you can pretend like you're in CSI Miami when you stay there, and you can at the hotel, and you could, you know, take pictures and look cool, and it looks like there could have been a crime scene there just moments before you arrived. But it's a wonderful place to stay. Friendly people there.
I've been to one of those places. You know, my favorite was I went to I don't even remember where this place was. It was a Ramada Inn that someone had bought out, and they changed the name so they wouldn't have to take down the old sign to the Ahmad Inn.
Ah, yeah, the old Ahmad Inn. Yeah. Well, this is a nice hotel, actually. I shouldn't say anything. It's a very nice place. The folks in the tool shed there, the little watering hole, a lot of fun. Very, very nice place. So I would highly recommend that if you're going to Top Gun. Have a pilot's party. Just remember, Plant City, Days Inn, Tool Shed. You'll be so happy that you did. And you'll see the Warbird radio patch right up there on the bar.
Yeah. Also, if you're down at Top Gun and you're walking through the pits there and you see the RC Scale Builder banner, stop by and say hello to Dino in the crowd. They're representing down there.
And if you don't, go by and ask Dino where it's at, will you?
yeah, that's right.
It might be hanging up in where, Mike? Plant City, the Days Inn at the tool shed. Yeah, that's right.
You never know where what shows up in that place.
I think Dino should host an RC Scale Builder party at the tool shed there in Plant City.
I'll tell you what, you know, he's so funny.
Fellow could have a lot of fun in that place.
You know, you're kind of worrying me how much you're talking about that place.
Hey, Michael, I'm telling you, it's a good place to go, you know.
When we head to Texas, I don't want you to say, hey, let's take a little trip down to Florida first.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you go in there and you talk about the hose, you're literally talking about the rake without fingers because there's still it was the tool shed for the pool. So there's plenty of stuff still in there.
Well, hey, you know, this weekend my good buddy Jason and I are heading down to the Azalea City Model Aeronautics Scale Fly-In in Mobile, Alabama.
Okay.
And our good friend TJ that listens to the show regularly, and Anthony and TJ and our buddy Jerry Bates will be there. And we're going to have a good time, so come out Saturday if you're in the Mobile area.
Yeah.
and say hello.
BYOMJ for that event, but
that's right.
Bring your own mint julep. So there you
go. Then, of course, we got the mint julep coming up May 20th through 22nd in Falls of Rough, Kentucky.
I just love the way you say that.
Falls of Rough, Kentucky.
Well, your silver cup will still be good from the weekend before in Azalea City there. So
that's right. That's right. Yeah. And let's see what else is going on. That same weekend, we have Warbirds over East Alabama in Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah, y'all know Mike shows up to the field in a seersucker suit and a straw hat. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's right. And then the following weekend, May 26th, through the 29th is the IMAA West Coast Festival in Atwater, California, also known as Chino. Mm-hmm. No, Castle, I'm sorry. Castle Air Force Base. And
then there's the Maker's Mark Classic and the.
I like that one. June 11th through the 9th through the 11th is Warbirds over Georgia in Andersonville, Georgia. And that's hosted by Mac Hodges. And I'll certainly have a link to all these events on the episode thread on RC Skill Builder, so be sure and check that out. And also, if you'd like your event mentioned here on the show, shoot me an email at live, at rcskillbuilder.com, and we'll get it on for you.
And more importantly, if you'd like us not to mention your event on this show, just send us an email as well.
That too. So, you know, you've already got me scheming, thinking about how I'm going to get you back for that intro tonight. So I think I've got a pretty good idea. So you may not want to answer your Skype from me tomorrow morning on the live
tomorrow
show.
Tomorrow morning on the live show, yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. I'm with you. I understand.
Oh, man. Well, what else is going on? What's going on in the world of full-scale warbirds?
I haven't flown this week. I've been very good. I've been working hard here at the studio.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Listening to our show this morning, I started out working on it, and you know, we're so lucky in this country to have men and women who, just like yourself, who sign up and go and serve. In our armed forces, we're just so absolutely lucky. I was listening to a story this morning, and and a lot of times people have told these stories they tell us time in, time out. But every once in a while, you get one that you can tell has probably been put away somewhere for a long time. And we had one of those today, and I'm telling you, if you have a chance to listen to it tomorrow. Do yourself a favor. Sit down. Take some time and listen to it. It's the Warbird Radio Presents that's coming up. It's right there. It's about an EC-47 crew member, and it's a really, really good show. I mean, a lot of people didn't know that there was such a thing as an EC-47, but there was.
And, wow.
He had a rough go in Vietnam, but it's a great story, and I would really recommend you taking a listen to it. So. Pretty good stuff. Really good stuff. It's a real gem to have, and you know, it's not all. It's really, really well done. So take a look. And I didn't do it, so I can say it's well done. But it very well done, and we're lucky to have it. It's courtesy of our friends up at the EAA and the Timeless Voices of Aviation Oral History Program, and it's this week's Warbird Radio Presents. So it's a good one, and you'll want to listen to it. But that's been going on, and what else is going on, Mike? I don't know. We have a lot going on in the full scale world. This weekend is the big air show down in at Cherry Point, and I think is it Cherry Point or is it Buford? Anyway, there's an air show somewhere in the Carolinas this weekend, and I'll have it on the show tomorrow. I'm so checked out tonight, but we're having Betty Wall on tomorrow, and I'm really excited about that. She flew B-26s. And B-17s and T-6s, P-39s. She was a WASP pilot, obviously, back in World War II. And in her 90s today, showed her the B-25 a few weeks ago down at Sun and Fun. Larry and I were standing around there, and Larry said, "Why don't you show her the airplane?" I thought, how am I going to get a 91-year-old woman into this aircraft? And she was up the ladder before I turned around. What a
That's
neat
amazing.
Gal. And
that is
really,
amazing.
She was out there. We were able to able to introduce her to my wife, and it was really nice. We had a good time, and just really nice to get to hang out with her. So she's on the show tomorrow, and she is a pistol. So I got my work cut out for me. So I'm going to go to bed.
That sounds like it.
Go to bed early tonight. And
so you'll be sharp in the morning?
Got to be sharp tomorrow morning, Mike. Got to be sharp. So.
So speaking of that, how's your lovely wife
doing? Oh, she's doing wonderful, Mike. Any better, we'd be the Chilsons, you know? So we're just doing great. Thanks for asking me.
I'm glad of that. And, you know, you're absolutely right. One thing that I think we don't say enough on this show and on, you know, and in our day-to-day lives is to thank people who have served our country, you know, regardless of how you feel about politics. People who take the time to serve their country, you know, deserve your respect, all of our respect. And, you know, we can't do it without them. And the people doing it right now, you know, they're just, to me, they're as big of heroes as those that were in World War II, World War I, all the way back. So
absolutely. They've been doing it longer now.
So. That's right. That's right. So, you know, it's something I think we all need to remember. And when you see one of those veterans with a hat on, be sure and go up and say hello to him and thank him for his service.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a call coming in here, Mike, at the last minute.
Okay.
You want to take the call here?
Good evening, caller. You're on there.
Hey, Mike. Tony from Mobile.
Tony, what's happening, bud?
Well, I'm a dummy. I've completely forgot you guys were on tonight. And yeah, and I was playing on the internet there, researching, and it dawned on me, and I meant to call in earlier.
Well,
hey,
I'm
gonna see you this weekend, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, are you in for my offer that I offered?
Yeah. I need to talk to you offline about that. But yeah, absolutely, absolutely,
well,
absolutely.
Well, did you tell Matt what we had in mind?
No, not yet. Because okay. I want to be able to rub it in his face when it happens.
Ah, okay. So pictures and all that good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, I don't get to do that very often, like you said, but, you know, it'd be nice to turn around and rub it in his
face. Listen, if this
for a
involves
while.
Plant City and the days in the tool shed, I don't want to know anything about it, Mike. But,
not at all. But no, we're coming down, and Jerry Bates is okay. Coming over with us.
Awesome.
We'll swing by and pick him up that morning and head on over there, and we're going to bring the P-47 down and fly it with you guys.
Oh, I'm so glad, man. I was hoping you was going to bring that.
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
Man, that sounds good. Well, I'm excited, and I can't wait to see you.
Well, same here. I look forward to meeting you face to face.
Yeah, we should have a lot of fun, and there should be some good food involved and a lot of good times. So, great.
Hey, one thing you'll learn about us is we make our fun everywhere we go.
Well, that's good. You're going to feel good.
Well, there you go.
Okay, guys. Dead coming. I wish I would have tuned in earlier. I'll just have to listen to the podcast like I usually do, I guess.
Well, be sure and catch us next week.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Sounds good. Sounds good, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Tony.
Well, it was nice of Tony to call in tonight and
prove
that the lines are working tonight. They are up indeed. So
we've got something up our sleeve to rub in your face.
I'm gathering this up pretty quickly, but that's good. Yeah, I should have warned Tony if there are any waitresses in town that he really likes, that he really respects, that he probably should stay out of those restaurants that weekend. But especially with the two of you, but you guys are gonna have a great time. So
man,
what fun, Mike? What fun?
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, good. Good deal.
Well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for tonight, my friend.
Okay. Your show. Do what you want.
Yeah. Another episode out of the way. What can I say? Hope everyone enjoyed the show. Thanks to our guest, Denny Frenzel, for coming on and talking to us about the hobby. And be sure and join us next week for another great guest and more information of things going on in the world of Scale RC, and be sure and check out rcscalebuilder.com for the best information on scale building on the internet. But most importantly, stay tuned here on Warbird Radio for some fantastic programming, and until next week, be sure and measure twice and cut once. Good night.
on the RC Scale Builders Show. You can find them online at rcscalebuilder.com. That's rcscalebuilder.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned, of course, to Warbird Radio, and tune in next week at 8 p.m. for Mike Chilson and more of the RC Scale Builders Show here on Warbird Radio. Thanks for listening.